Well, this is what I was going to read. I was so reminded by God's goodness to us as we were singing this one song here, Be Still My Soul. These lyrics here. Be still my soul, the Lord is on my side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change he faithful will remain. Be still my soul, thy dust, thy heavenly friend, through. And it takes it away for me. But the lyrics are so good on that, as to just that we can, our souls can find rest in our God who is faithful in the midst of whatever it is that we're journeying through in our lives. And he knows. He knows our hearts. He knows our circumstances, and he knows our situations. And so let's just go to the Lord now. And if you are participating this week in the Hong Kong mission, would you stand? And then everybody can see you, and they can be known. These are some people that we can be praying for. Well, that sounds fun. So it's just the parents this week? I was like, man, the kids are going to be running free at home. Awesome. Also, be praying for Timmy Hamley and Abby Proctor as they're leaving to go serve at Rosegrove Camp on staff here tomorrow. So we want to be praying for them also. So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day that you've given us, this beautiful morning to gather together to worship. Lord, you are so good to us, faithful, and when our souls are not at rest, Lord, thank you that we can find rest in you. Help us to turn to you and just find ourselves in the hands of a heavenly Father who loves us more than we can even understand, one who is in control, and there is nothing that is too big for you to handle. And so we thank you for that. I thank you for these individuals who are standing, who just represent just our heart and our desire to be a people who are for our community and about loving our city and our community and shining bright for you, Lord. And so I pray that you would guide each one of these individuals as they go, Joey as he leads, and that in the interactions that they get to have with people who may be passing by or working with, God, would you allow them to take advantage of those conversations for your glory? Lord, may people be blessed through them in ways that are beyond what we even think we are able to do and participate in ways that we're engaging. But God, that you would take that little bit and you would do something amazing with it. God, we pray for Pete and Emily right now as they await the arrival of their new one, and so God, may everything go smoothly and well there for Abby and Timmy as they go to serve at Rosegrove and minister there, and all the staff that will be gathering together, Lord, would you use them, and God, may lives be impacted for the sake of the gospel through all of our lives as we go in the midst of this week. God, you're so good to us, so faithful, and we thank you. In your name we pray, amen. And we you can go ahead and grab your seat, Richard. Thank you. well, here, I wanted to share this video with you. Colin Proctor, he was willing to put this together for us. And over the past few months, there was a lot of time that we got to spend in different ways. And while there was much that got disrupted in a way that was unexpected and things slowed down, there were some things that got missed out on. There were a lot of good things that God was doing and ways that God was working in our midst. And so I don't know how many more, if we'll have any more of these videos or not, but here is a video that Colin put together for us just to share a little glimpse into two ways that God was working in our midst through this time.
I would say that I'm just really grateful for God, to God for during this time having more time as a family to just get to know each other better, especially having a new guy in the family and for him getting to know us. And it's been especially nice that Eric's been around during this time to help with the teaching and helping our boys with their schoolwork. It's really been a blessing.
And I would also say I definitely see how God has worked in providing me a full-time job, a full-time teaching job, so that I could be at home. I still had a lot of work to do, and it was a big transition, but God kept me calm through the entire process and gave me a peace with everything, and so I was able to do my own job, but then also be here to help Lisa around the house and with the boys, and just really bonding closer together with everyone for the time. I know that God has provided that time for us.
It's also been a really big blessing having our older kids at home, having Colin and Abby home, just because they've been really good at just refreshing us by just taking over after dinner tonight and just giving us a little bit of time to relax and try.
So we've been making it through the last couple months as best we can. It's interesting. I've noticed that I have been really having a lot of irrational fears, finding myself waking up in the middle of the night thinking about ridiculous stuff that I think would never bother me in the middle of the day. Of course, at night, that's just wake up and that's all that's on your mind. So, I guess it's good that God's teaching me different ways that, I'm not really trusting Him. Passage that I read recently that really spoke to me was Isaiah 3. And in that, the prophet is relaying a message to people from God, and he's saying, I'm taking away everything that you found security in. And of course, he's about to come in and wreck their normalcy in life. And so he says, I'm taking away all your warriors and all your leaders, all your wise men, and all everything that gives you strength and anything that you find security in. And, it means that going through this, in many cases, in many ways, that this is a way that everything that we've found normalcy in, everything that we've found comfort in, many of these things have just been put on pause or been taken away. And it's just such an eye-opener for God to say, hey, I'm trying to get your attention. I'm trying to get you to realize that the things that you're looking for aren't me, even in the small things. And so it's great to see that, as always, God's looking to speak to us here on these times where we're worried or it seems like the world is falling off of us.
Right, awesome. Thanks for sharing that, Brent. And there were so many good things that God was up to in our lives. And so over the next few weeks, hopefully we can share a little bit more of that and we recognize those things. This morning, as we turn to God's Word, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to continue our little slow move through chapter 2 as we started working through this a few weeks ago. But one of the things I did, and maybe you did during the past, or during the time when we were staying at home more, was good to see Finley. While we were staying at home, was that there wasn't much on TV sports-wise, and so one of the things that on Sunday nights, Noah and I and whoever else wanted to join in, we watched was this thing on ESPN called The Last Dance. Anybody? Watch it. You watched it? It was on last. Oh, they're playing it again? So, all about Michael Jordan, right? And so there was this one line that seemed to get some notice that he said on the last episode. He said this in regards to winning. He said, look, winning has a price, and leadership has a price. And so I pulled people along when they didn't want to be pulled. I challenged people when they didn't want to be challenged, and I learned and I earned that right because my teammates who came after me didn't endure all the things that I endured. But he says, look, winning has a price, and leadership has a price. And as he worked through that series, that documentary, you could see as Michael Jordan is, one of the best, probably, that's the argument, is he the best or is LeBron the best or, all of that. But I liked watching him, so I say he's better. But Jordan, and he had a winning record. He was a guy who was such a competitor. And he had the habits, if you'd watch him in the practices and stuff, he was always pushing and he was always working harder. And so we're going to talk this morning about habits, winning habits for us as we turn to this passage here. Because Paul is looking here in this letter and he is writing to his dear son Timothy in the faith. And he's writing to bring him encouragement to keep on, to persevere for the sake of the gospel, because things are hard. Things are challenging for them right now. And the same can be said for us also, and it is so important for us to hear what Paul is saying here, because here what he is saying is encouraging to us, and it reminds us as to what it is that we're aiming for and what our calling is in the Christian life. It's the life that God has called us to. And so let's read these first five verses, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. He says this: "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." So Paul here, he's sitting in prison. He's given his life for the sake of the gospel. It's the good news that we've sung about over and over this morning. It is about Jesus, that he came to save sinners, you and me, that it isn't anything about our works. It is about that he came and he laid down his life for us so that we might be forgiven and saved as we place our faith in him. It's because of his faithfulness to preach the gospel that Paul's now sitting in prison. It's because of this same gospel that Timothy is finding challenges that he is facing. The early Christians were facing the threat of persecution. It is because of this gospel. And Paul is saying, Timothy, who is in need of encouragement, to keep on going, keep being strong. Find strength in the grace that comes from your Savior. He's saying, don't give up, but rather keep on giving your life. Keep giving everything you've got for the sake of the gospel. Why? Why would you do this? It's because you have experienced the amazing grace, because you have experienced the mercy, because you have experienced the power of the Holy Spirit working in you, that you want to give everything that you've got, that you want to please him. And so how Paul is encouraging Timothy in these verses is just in much the same way that we need encouragement this morning. Some of us here may find ourselves in some of the most unbelievable times of pain and hardship, of sadness, of loneliness, of disappointment and frustration. And in settings like this, it is often the case that we'll put on the front that everything is going okay, when in reality there is so much hard stuff going on underneath the surface. And we need the encouragement from God's Word as he speaks to us. And so maybe you're here today and your life is going well, and that is awesome. That is a gift of God. But I believe that God has some encouragement for every single one of us here in these few brief moments that we have remaining. A few weeks ago we talked about the analogy here that Paul uses in regards to being a good soldier. And this morning we want to move on to this picture in verse 5 that Paul uses to encourage Timothy. And he uses the metaphor of an athlete. Through Paul's writings, one of his favorite comparisons for the Christian life is that of running a race, right? Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14, well-known, familiar verses. Paul writes this and says, "Brothers, I don't consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." He talks about a boxer and how he's like a boxer. "So I don't run aimlessly," he says in 1 Corinthians 9:26. "I do not box as one who is beating the air." In another place, he speaks about wrestling. He says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness." And so today, we want to consider this just for a little bit. And here's what he writes to Timothy in verse 5. He says, "An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." Well, talked about being a good soldier, and his point was about being single-minded in our devotion and focus. Here, Paul is turning to talk about being an athlete, and there are a few things that we need to understand whenever we talk about being an athlete or what being an athlete is about. First, Paul, as he's writing this analogy, Paul's not talking about someone who just likes to go exercise and work out, but he's talking about someone who is playing a sport where there is competition. The athlete is a competitor. Their aim is to win. Just because someone sets up some soccer goals and goes and stands out in them with a soccer ball doesn't make them a soccer player, or just having a basketball in your hand doesn't make someone a basketball player, or definitely not if you're wearing running shoes does not make you a runner. It actually takes going and doing it, right? And as Christians, we are in a contest of sorts. It is a battle. It's borrowing from the analogy of the soldier. It is wartime. There is a fight, a real battle that is going on as we contend for the gospel. Being a Christian is our identity, and we are always in the contest. And so there is a competition, and there is contest, but there is also, that means that there is a goal. There is something that we are shooting for. There is something that we are striving for. For the athlete, there is the goal in mind. For the one who is a runner, what are they running for? They're running for the finish line. For the wrestler, they want to pin or outlast the opponent. That's the goal. The quarterback in football wants to get to the end zone. The basketball player wants to get the ball in the hoop, and then they want to get their team to win the game. Soccer player wants to get to score a goal. And in a similar fashion, for the believer, there is a goal. There's something that we are shooting for. There's a reward. And it's not only to please our Savior, but it is also to win the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The Christian's aim is to fight the good fight and finish the race and keep the faith. Our goal is to grow in Christ's likeness and to become more like Him. Our goal is to share the gospel and help people find and follow after Christ. It's very simply to love God and love others. That's what we're aiming for. That's the goal. Our goal is to make it home to heaven, to see our Savior face to face and hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's the goal. And so there's this sense of competition and competing that an athlete is about. There's this sense of that there's a goal in mind, that there's something that we're shooting for. And there is this piece that there is a lot of effort. It's not just going out and not giving your best, but it is giving everything that you have. There is an effort. There is sweat and hard work. It's not just someone who has talent, but it is someone who puts in the training into whatever their sport is so that they can be the best that they can be. And through this analogy, Paul is carrying on this same theme that we talked about a few weeks ago in regards to being a good soldier. The Christian life takes effort. And so we strive hard. We fight hard. We run hard with all of His strength that He graciously provides for us. It is all in the power of His might. It's all because of His grace. And there's probably a whole host of other things that could be said here about the metaphor of an athlete and the Christian life. But for the purposes here, that's plenty. Because there's one thing that Paul points to, and it is this of following the rules. Paul brings out this point that we've just mentioned whenever we use the analogy of an athlete to encourage Timothy in the Christian life. And what does he say again? He says, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The point that he makes here is this: to win the crown, to win the prize, there is something that is necessary. And what's necessary is competing according to the rules. There are rules that one must obey to be able to succeed, right? Just as there is with the soldier, that there are things that must be done, there are things just the same with the athlete. You can compete to win. You can strive for the goal. You can give your best effort, but if you don't play according to the rules, you're out. And all your efforts aren't going to matter. What I'm not saying is anything in regards to that our salvation is based upon our works or on anything good about us and our efforts at all. That is not what I'm saying. The Bible is very clear that the only way that sinners like you and I get to come into relationship with Jesus and find forgiveness and rescue and healing and grace is only through faith in Him, and it's His work and what He does that He's the one who saves us. And there is nothing that we can do on our own that gives us standing or any merit with God. It is wholly on the blood of Jesus. But this is about relationship, and it's only possible to live the new life through the gift of His mercy and grace. But what I'm saying is that there are ways to live that set us up to succeed and allow us to win in the Christian life. Ways that we are made to live by which life works best, but and we can experience this peace and this joy in our lives as we honor and worship and glorify the Lord. And because our aim is to please our Savior and receive the crown, then our perspective is not one of where I have to follow these rules, but I want to live my life in such a way that honors and pleases Him. I want to follow these rules. And when we do, it is an act of obedience and worship. Paul is saying that just as there are rules in an athletic competition, there are rules for the Christian life that we must have the discipline to follow if we're going to succeed and be effective in this task. I'm reminded of what Paul says here. He says, "Do not you know that in the race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable." He says an athlete is running hard, and they want to win, and where are they going to get at the end of it? They're going to get this wreath that's going to last for a few days. But he's like, guys, what are we running for? We're running for something that is imperishable. It's going to last forever. It's so much better. It's so much greater. And so he says in 1 Corinthians 9, 24-27, "So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body, and I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." He says, I'm going to do it right so that I don't get disqualified. What good is any of this if at the end of it I'm going to be disqualified? There's plenty of examples out there of track stars, of cyclists, swimmers, every other sport, baseball, everything, where athletes are taking shortcuts outside of the lines only to find themselves disqualified. I remember as a kid on the swim team when I was in elementary or something like that, and getting in the water and in the race and feeling good about it. And I remember this one time I got out, I was like, it's done. And then I go and I find out disqualified because the stroke wasn't just right at some point in the thing. And it's like, and you gave everything you got only to get out to find that disappointment, right? So disappointing. And Paul's saying the same thing. He's saying it to every single one of us. Be careful not to disqualify yourself. Don't disqualify yourself from the job because it's too important. There is discipline that is needed. There are habits that need to be formed. It takes time. It takes self-discipline. It takes self-control. It takes practice. It takes learning the technique and the roles of the game. And so to excel at any of these things, all of those things are important. And so let's create habits. Spiritually, let's create habits in our lives that set us up well so that we will succeed. If you have your Bible, let's turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And what does Paul say to him there in verses 6 through 10? He says this, "If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed." There are some habits to develop, and he starts to talk about them. Verse 7, "Have nothing to do with irreverent silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive because we have our hope set in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe." And so why do we train ourselves? Is it because we want to be spiritual? Why do we want to be spiritually fit? Why not get disqualified? Why be godly? Why does it matter? because it holds promise, holds the promise for the present life and also for the life to come, because it's crucial to the spread of the gospel. So let's watch our lives. So real briefly, as we just bring this to a close, Paul's encouragement to us today for the Christian is that while we're looking forward to his return, until the day that he comes again, let's compete as athletes with winning habits that are developing habits as we live our lives with a goal in mind, as we give our lives and all of our effort in the fight, that we would discipline ourselves in godliness and compete in such a way that doesn't disqualify us, so that we might win the prize, the crown of righteousness. This goes on 1 Timothy 4, or back there, just before what we read. In verse 11, command and teach these things. He lays it out. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. And until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect that gift you have, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and hearers. Right there, what kind of habits are you forming? There's a whole list of habits for us all. And as I look around the room here and I see people who are further along in this journey, I see you and I'm so grateful for you, because I know you're where you're at because you developed habits. And we're just going to encourage you to go deeper with Jesus and to stay faithful to him. And so, in your speech, in your conduct, in your love, in your faith and purity, guys, let's pursue godliness. It doesn't happen by accident. Let's pursue Jesus, and I believe godliness will happen. Sometimes developing habits that lead to godliness can be demanding. They may not get noticed. They can be humbling, and at times it might not be fun. It might feel weird in a culture that could care less about godliness. But while we wait, may we be doing the hard work of training ourselves for godliness, so that we may be faithful to pass on the gospel to others who are going to pass on the gospel, so that the gospel will continue to go forward and many will come to know the saving grace of Jesus all the more. Let's bow our heads and pray. Our Father in heaven, this morning, I thank you for just this time that we have this morning to gather to worship you, to lift up your name, to sing, to join together in prayer and praying for one another. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for that you are a God who speaks, that you have not left us here on our own, but God, that you are with us each step of the way, that you faithfully lead and guide us, and that, Lord, even when we fall short, Lord, that you are a God who is gracious and kind to us and merciful. And Lord, would you help us to surrender all that we have to you and give everything that we've got, Lord, as we strive after, as we run hard, as we fight the fight, as we wrestle, as we do this life, Lord. God, may we live resting in your grace, because only by your grace. Help us not to strive on our own efforts, but to do so by your grace. God, we thank you. We thank you for this time that we've had together, and God, may you be glorified in us as we go this week.